Well, today is our concluding message in the series, Life on Mission. And as we wrap this series up, I thought it might be appropriate to begin our message today by telling you a hunting story. Don't know if you heard about the three men that went hunting. One was a doctor, one was a lawyer, and one was a preacher. And they all were hunting in the same area, and a lone buck came strolling down the path, and they all three shot at the same time. They all converged on the deer and all claimed their trophy, and an argument ensued about who shot the deer and who it belonged to. So the game warden was called, and after a careful investigation, the game warden said, "In my expert opinion, this deer was shot by the preacher." To which the doctor and lawyer cried, "Well, why would you say that?" And he said, "Well, it's obvious. His shot went in one ear and out the other." But I hope these messages from Life on Mission are not going in one ear and out the other, because this mission is a mission that is possible. It's a mission that's been given to us by our Lord, and it is the crux of the Christian life. So we've talked about this progression of things that need to happen, and they're very organic. First, we just connect with people that are already in our lives, already in our circle of influence. And then we find a way to serve people, because nothing builds relationships better than genuine acts of service. And then when people have this look on their face like, "Why are you doing this to help me?" it opens the door of opportunity to share why we do what we do. And then we have an opportunity to help other people grow in their relationship with the Lord. But it is all undergirded with what we talked about last week, prayer. Prayer for the Lord to raise up workers to harvest in His field. And we talked last week about the fact that when we pray for the Lord to raise up harvesters, it usually softens our hearts a little bit to be involved. A few years ago, you might remember one of the most spectacular basketball players from the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan. And one night, he had a spectacular accomplishment. On March 28th of 1990, he had a career-high scoring of 69 points. But in one of his first games with the Bulls, another player, Stacey King, was in the game for only 17 minutes. He missed four shots from the court, and he made one of two free throws for a total of 1 point in the same game that Michael scored 69. Now, a few days later, a reporter asked him about his greatest moment so far in the NBA, and you know what he said? "I'll never forget that night Michael Jordan and I together scored 70 points in a single game." And I want to share that with you because when we live our lives on mission and we do the things that God asks us to do, we don't do it through our own power. We do it through the power of His Holy Spirit that lives in us. But we can be like Stacey King. Look what God and I did. Look what we did together. And that's the call of Jesus, to follow Him and to be part of this mission. Now, we started the series with this passage, but I kind of want to rekindle it in this final message. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 874. And we'll read the first 8 verses. But this takes place after Jesus was crucified, after He was buried, and after He was raised again. He appeared to His disciples, and He gave them this great commission. And then Dr. Luke records these writings in Acts. Many of our Bibles just use the short name for the book, Acts, but the long name is the Acts of the Apostles. It was the activities of the apostles in the time of the early church. So Dr. Luke, who became a Christian during the events in the book of Acts, writes this, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven after giving His chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after His crucifixion, He appeared to the apostles from time to time, and He proved to them in many ways that He was actually alive. And He talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the mission is to be his witnesses. We're not to be judges. We're not to be prosecuting attorneys. We are to be witnesses and to tell what we know. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, Paul wrote to the church there in verses 5 and 6, to live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. How do we do that? We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We're told in Acts 2:38, when Peter preached the first gospel message, and the people were convicted that, man, we put to death the Son of God. What do we do now? And Peter said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the Spirit comes and lives within us. He empowers us to live the life that God wants us to live. One of my professors in seminary training was Dr. Jack Cottrell, and he wrote in one of his books about living in the power of the Holy Spirit that many Christians don't like to talk about the Spirit, they don't understand the Spirit, and so they live these anemic Christian lives bereft of power because they're not living in the Spirit. And he wanted to make the point so that everybody could understand. So he said this, "I want you to imagine that Clark Kent lived his entire life as a newspaper reporter. He got old, and on his deathbed, he rips open his shirt and sees this bright red letter S, and he says, 'Gee, wonder what that means.' Can you imagine if Superman lived his whole life and didn't know he was Superman?" And that's what Dr. Cottrell was saying. There are many Christians who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they're not living in the Spirit. They're not sure what to do. So we have been reading in our adult Bible fellowship through the book of Acts, and we've seen God do some amazing things through people who were living on mission, who were living in the power of the Spirit, who were praying and willing to follow his lead. And so we wanted to do a little experiment. We wanted to do a little challenge. And at the beginning of this series, you'll remember at the conclusion of my first message, we asked for some volunteers to participate in a mission challenge. They were told not to tell anyone, not even their spouses, what their mission was, but they were to follow the instructions in this letter. And today's the day where we're going to hear some field reports. We're going to hear what actually happened. And so to let you know just a little bit about what the setup was, when they got home and opened their envelope, it contained a letter of instruction, and it also contained an envelope. The envelope contained an amount of cash. And the instructions were to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in being a blessing to other people. And I'll tell you, all three of the people, when they turned in their reports to me, said, "This was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be." And so we want to kind of hear a little bit about what happened. Now, as we mentioned a little earlier, George and Nina usually sit right down here. You can always see them, and they're not here today. Nina texted me on Friday and said she had the flu. And thankfully, she didn't want to share it with the rest of us, but she did want to share her testimony. So she sent me a letter describing her journey, and so I'm going to share her journey with you, and then we'll hear from our others. Nina wrote this, When I got home and opened the envelope, I saw the letter and the money. And as I read the letter, I knew I was in trouble. I always have trouble giving money away. I like to buy groceries or gas or lunch for people if I see someone in need, but I never just hand out cash. And I started praying every morning to run into someone I could help. 2 weeks go by, nothing happened. I was feeling like a failure. Finally, I'm in the grocery store one day, and the lady in front of me told the cashier to stop ringing things up so she could make sure she had enough money. Nina said, I was ready to bail her out, but she didn't need it. I asked if she got all the groceries she needed, and she said, yes, I got everything. Well, my girlfriend and I went out to lunch one day, and she was telling me about her grandson. He was having trouble paying his electric bill, and they were going to shut it off. And I asked her how he got into this situation. Well, a friend and his family moved in with him. They were homeless. So, with the extra groceries and the higher utility bills, he just ran short. She told him to get a hold of Duke and work out a payment plan. And then the family finally moved out of his house. He decided he would be able to start paying extra on the bill, and he was glad they were willing to work with him. While we were eating lunch, it finally hit me. I have someone I could help. So I asked my girlfriend to give her grandson this gift to help start paying on his electric bill. Then I told her about my mission. When she gave the money to her grandson, he was very thankful, but he wanted to know why he was receiving this. And she told them that Jesus knew he needed it. Nina says, I'm still praying to be able to help someone else, but thank you for the opportunity to share God's love with other people. And I thought that was pretty neat, that an experience that you're going to hear again and again, that it's so important to pray and to follow the lead of the Spirit, but sometimes it's challenging. And so next up, we're going to hear from Cheryl. Cheryl, if you'd come, please.
Well, I'm going to begin by telling you why I raised my hand when David was passing out those mission envelopes. You see, during communion, I had prayed that I would learn to be more compassionate and have more of a servant heart. So when just a few minutes later, an opportunity presents itself, I kind of felt like the Spirit or God was saying, okay, Cheryl, you're up. What are you going to do? So I held up my hand. When I got home and I read about my mission to give away money to people in need, I first thought it would be easy. I soon realized this mission presented its challenges. For one thing, as many of you know, being retired, your circle of friends kind of gets a little bit smaller. I don't go out of the house every day, necessarily. And so just finding opportunities was going to be difficult. So I put my focus on what the instructions in my envelope said about praying, and that this was a mission all about listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Him drive your actions. I prayed every day that I would have ears to hear and eyes to see where there was a need. I even intentionally went places where I thought there might be a need. I went to the grocery store extra times. I went to thrift stores. I made trips to Walmart, but no opportunities presented themselves. I didn't even get close like Nina did. I always had the money with me, so I would be prepared when there was an opportunity. On Thursday, October 20th, I went on a road trip to Lexington, Kentucky, with 14 of my best quilting buddies. I remember thinking that day and praying that morning that I should be alert to see if any of my friends might share a story with a need. We went to lunch at a restaurant, all 15 of us at one long table. And we had the sweetest little waitress. She greeted us with smiles and banter, and she was not intimidated at all by 15 demanding, hungry ladies. So while we're sitting there, I'm listening to all the conversations going on. I just felt like this was gonna be the day that I heard about something that I could use that money for. And all of a sudden, I had this idea that this waitress should get an extra tip, that she should get a sizable tip. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of arguing with myself because I think, Well, I don't know that she's really in need, and she's doing a good job, you know, and I know all of my friends will tip well, but I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I became very convinced I should give her a big tip. The feeling was very strong and seemed very right, in spite of the fact that it was not what I was expecting. That's not the scenario I expected at all. I was not sure that once I gave the tip, I'd even have a chance to talk to her about why I was doing it. But I decided I was just going to leave that up to the Lord. As we were getting ready to leave, she grabs my arm and pulls me aside. And she says, "Do you know how much you tipped me?" And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "God wants to bless you today." And she just grabbed me and hugged me. And I whispered in her ear, "God bless you." And that is a memory that I'm going to have all my life. The joy, the overwhelming rightness of it and everything, it was really a moment. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm on a roll. I know how to do this now. So days go by, nothing happens. And I keep praying, I keep thinking, I even called David to see if I was supposed to give away all the money. Now he didn't say, "Duh, Cheryl," but he just said, "Well, that is the idea." So I thought, okay, my mission's not over. So then I just started praying. I thought, "Lord, have I missed something?" I kept praying about that. Have I missed something? Is there something I need to remember? Have you revealed something to me and I haven't seen it? And I just kept praying that over and over. And all of a sudden I remembered a conversation that I'd had with my cousin. She was telling me how her and her husband were helping a young man out who was legally blind. He was finally getting to move into his own apartment, but he needed help with that and everything. So I started praying about that, and I just felt like, well, I need to call her and find out more about this situation. So I called her, and I told her a little bit. I didn't tell her I had a mission from church. I just told her I have some money that doesn't belong to me, that I've prayed a lot about where to give it, and this young man's story kept coming back to mind and everything. And so she says, well, I'll call and find out. So she shared with this young man's mother that this was a situation I had been praying about and that I wanted to help him in some way. Well, as it turned out, what he was wanting to buy was something that he didn't absolutely have to need, but it would improve his quality of life. And the sum of money I had was going to help him do that. So I made arrangements to give him the money and everything, and I put a note in it, letting him know that this was God's way of taking care of him and everything. And so that he has something tangible that will remind him over and over again why he got that gift. Once again, I just really felt like it was the right thing. I just had a sense of rightness. It's kind of hard to explain, but I did want that young man to know that God was responsible for him getting that gift. I'm going to wrap up now just sharing with you, praying for the Holy Spirit to lead you is scary. I found it very scary. How do you know that the Spirit is leading you? How do you know it's just not one of your arbitrary thoughts? I wish I could say it was like the things we've been reading in Acts, where they get put in a trance and they see visions. The Lord speaks out loud to them. They see the power of the Holy Spirit coming down. My experience was not like that. But I was praying earnestly, and I just believe when you pray that hard, you just know that your prayer is going to be answered. And for me, just feeling that those situations turned out so right, that I just, that certain amount of overwhelming feeling of rightness is how I think of the Spirit. And although not my mission possible is now completed, I'm going to continue to ask the Holy Spirit to guide me to know those who have need. It's still scary. I'm a task-oriented person. I start almost every day with a to-do list, and I like to have everything scratched off by the time I go to bed. So when you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, you get interrupted. It takes time. It takes time to pray and follow through on the things that you're told to do and everything. So you're probably just going to be interrupted. You're going to be taken out of your comfort zone, but it's going to feel so right.
Ron?
I want to start off by saying it's really been a joy to be on mission for Jesus, which is all about praising His holy name. And it happened on October 15th. We were at the Y restaurant for my daughter's birthday, and I seen an elderly gentleman sit down at the corner table. And I noticed each time I looked his way that he was looking back at me. So when Debbie and I went out to pay the bill, I went over and said, "You look like you need a friend." And he said, "Yes." And I introduced myself. And he said he just had lost his wife, and what family he had didn't visit much anymore. And I said, "I was on mission to help with the money in the name of Jesus, our Lord." And he said he was all right that way, but he appreciated me so much coming over to talk. We talked about different things, and he mentioned a friend that I happened to know. And I said, "Didn't you know that he passed away last year?" And he said, "Oh, no, I didn't." And he said, "I don't get out much to see anybody anymore." And I said, "I'm causing your feet to get cold." And he said, "That's all right." I told him I'd be praying for him. And he said, "That's something we all need more of today." And as I left and shook his hand, he said, "Thank you for the very nice visit. And even though I did not give any money, I think we both was blessed that day." My second encounter was on October 25th at the Kroger store, trying to find breadcrumbs for Debbie. And Sebastian was with me, and we found out the breadcrumbs was on aisle 16 or 17. So I took aisle 17, and as I was picking them out, I noticed this elderly man. And he looked kind of bewildered. And as I went over to tell Sebastian I'd found them, I thought to go back and see if he was still there. And when I got there, he looked a bit puzzled, and I told him who I was and said, "You look like you may need a friend." And, "Oh," he said, "oh, yes, I do." His expression was he was surprised that I would ask. And I told him who I was and said that I was on a mission for Christ Jesus and would like to help someone, and could I get a story from you? He talked about the prices of things, and he told me his wife and sister had just passed away this year, within 2 months apart. And he said he was having a hard time with food and the prices of health insurance and different things. And I said I would like to give some money in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And I asked for his name, and he said it was Paul. As I gave him the money, he said, "Thank you." And I said, "Oh, you must remember this is a gift from Christ Jesus, our Lord. And as you use the money, I hope that you know that Jesus loves you." I was about to leave when I thought about it. I'd been praying a lot for that I might be able to help a veteran of war. I prayed many times, and I believe he was the answer. He said he'd served 2 years in Germany, and I said, "I thank you for your service." And he said, "Thank you." And he asked whether I went to church. And I told him, and I said, "I want you to know I'll be thinking of you in my prayers." So anyway, during these experiences, I've learned so much that the importance of eye contact and facial expressions of people. You need to be noticing people that way. And in fact, if you ask Jesus for something, expect an answer. For during my prayer time, I kept asking him if I might be able to help a veteran. I believe Paul was God's answer. And one of the main things I'd like you to remember, God's Spirit does move in people's lives today. And I've been inspired to reach out more to folks that just might need a friend.
Well, one of the neat things about missions like this is that when you're given a gift like that, that you're to give away, that's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? But the truth of the matter is, we've all been given a responsibility, haven't we? When I've done this in ministries before, I had somebody who kind of laughed and said, "Boy, it's really easy to give somebody else's money away, you know?" And then by the end of it, it's like, I got so much joy out of it, like what Cheryl was talking about. Why am I not doing this on my own? Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." I really like what Ron said at the end, that one of the things that he's learned is to be more observant, to make eye contact with people, to sense what they're going through, and even to speak to them in Jesus' name. And that is our mission. Our mission is to love people, to meet them where they are, and to let them know there's a God that loves them. A few years ago, Casting Crowns put out a song that I think captures the spirit of this, and it's called "Jesus, Friend of Sinners."
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A blank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Whoa, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Every lost cause, you reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame, every reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast, but you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
'Cause you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good. You are good, and your love endures forever.
Hey!
And so the mission carries on. A.W. Tozier wrote this: "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and nobody'd know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference." And that's why we want to be a church that restores what was happening in the first days. And I'm so thankful for Nina and Cheryl and Ron who were willing to take on that challenge and learn. It's not easy, but it's a mission that's possible, and it's one that we are all called to follow. Well, my challenge for you looks like this. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to continue to live your life on mission. Connect with people that God's already put in your circle of influence. Serve them so you can share with them, so you can help them grow. But it's all undergirded with our prayers. Praying for God to give us opportunities, prayers for us to see those opportunities, so we can step forward and grow in the way He wants us to grow and share the things that He wants us to share. This series will be concluding, but the mission will not. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank You so much for the valuable things that we've learned in this series, and I thank You for the way that Nina and Cheryl and Ron were willing to step out in faith and try something that really put their followership to the test. We thank You for the blessings that they were able to give away and the ones that they received. And Father, may we all be inspired to follow that example and to figure out ways that You want us to reach out to others around us. Help us, Father, to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, and help us as we pray for the Lord to raise up harvesters, and help us to be those very ones that will share and reap the harvest. Lord, all series we've prayed that You start a fire in us, and a fire that won't go out, one that we can fan the flame, we can catch the vision of the mission, and that we can one day hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So as we sing this song one last time to wrap up this series, Lord, keep that fire that You've started in us going. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand and let's sing?
Let your light shine, let your light shine.